What would it be like to set foot on Mars? There are places on this planet where you can actually get a good idea, and you don't need a spaceship to get there. Writer Craig Childs just wrote a great magazine piece about exploring Mars analogs. It's called How to Visit Another Planet Without Leaving Your Own. Hi, Craig.
Hi.
Craig, I have no desire to visit Mars. It looks cold and bleak and forbidding, and you can't breathe the air, and there's nothing to drink. You, on the other hand, confessed in the pages of Orion magazine that you would like to hike on Mars. Why?
So I didn't convince you?
I'm afraid not.
Well, the desolate properties. I'm a desert traveler, and I like to travel in glacial landscapes, you know, places that are very exposed. But also the size of the landforms on Mars, just the enormity of Olympus Mons and the deep canyons. I just think, oh, that would be such a wild sensation to go out and actually just walk across that planet.
You know, that's fascinating. You're talking about Mars in a way that we've only been able to do fairly recently. Because if you think, I mean, going back since the 70s, NASA has been sending satellites and probes and then finally rovers to Mars. And the photographs have been getting better and better and also more and more specific so that you can now do what you just did, I guess, pick out particular landscapes, particular places on Mars that you'd like to visit?
Well, they've become so clear that now we're looking at it saying, oh, well, this isn't some planet made of cheese. This is actually a planet that looks like ours in many ways, without the life, without the masses of open water, but it looks like the same principles you see here. You see rocks exposed with geologic layers, with bedding plains. You know, you see dunes, you see glaciers and moraines. The pictures we're getting make me want to walk there.
Are there particular photos you've seen that have just really wowed you? I mean, you've looked at places and said, okay, that goes on my bucket list?
Oh, yeah. There are some craters. I think it's Gusev Crater has a dune field, a sand dune field, right in the middle of it. And I just imagine walking to the edge of that crater and looking down to this enormous sand dune field and climbing down into it and just walking over the crests.
Wow. Where else?
Oh, along the edge of the polar ice caps, where big pieces of ice have fallen off and are just scattered around, melting and just covered with the red dust. I want to see some of those big dust devils that are rolling across the landscape out there, some out on the big desert plains.
Okay, you're almost convincing me. Well, the point of your article, though, is that there are places on Earth that are kind of like Mars, Mars analogs, you called them, which happen to be a lot of the places that you've hiked, for example.
Well, what comes right to mind is the Atacama Desert in South America. It's a landscape that I find beautiful, that I don't think a lot of people would find that way, but it's a place where in many parts of the desert, rain hasn't fallen for decades or even centuries or even for the entire history of gathering rain data. These places are just absolutely barren, but you know, barren to me is really enticing because you can see the shapes of the earth. You can see the way that rocks are sticking up in the air and just brutalized by winds and turned into these sculptures. And it looks like Mars. It really does.
Is it all flat? Are there mountains?
No, there are mountains. There are these big flat areas called salars, these salt depressions that you just take days walking across them, and then it rises up into a 2,000-foot ridge made entirely of salt that's jagged and bizarrely eroded. It's like walking into a salt castle. And then you come down the other side into the next salar and eventually rises up to mountains that are standing 19,000 feet.
Wow. You said it's all this salt, crystallized salt. That makes me think of a landscape that would be sharp, pointy.
Yes.
Hurtful.
It is. There are times I was backpacking across one of these salt regions, and we just could not find any place to even sit down. And we were walking into the night for hours until we found a spot that we could crawl into to sleep. It just would tear you apart. And I guess that's not convincing you either, is it?
Well, I'm fascinated because I'm curious about what draws you to these places, to places that are, you know, really inhospitable.
I think it's the elemental quality. And don't get me wrong, I love forests and lakes, but it just, when you strip everything else away and look at the bare bones of things, that is a different experience.
You said there's not been any rain there for decades, so obviously that's kind of like Mars. When you're there, does it feel like the moisture is just being sucked out of your body with every minute?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you're carrying your water on your back, and your skin is drying, and you're doing everything to keep the sun off of your skin. I'd walk with the sun to my back, which would really control the travel during the day, because after a while, you just can't walk into the sun. It just, you feel like you're going to pop.
So how long were you hiking there?
Well, that was a trip that was only probably 9 days of carrying water.
You carried enough water for 9 days?
Yeah.
How much water is that?
9 gallons.
Now, this is a place, the Atacama Desert, I think, that NASA used to test some of the Viking landers.
Right. Testing the biotic properties of being able to determine if there's life or not. That was their one of their target locations.
And so what did they find in the Atacama?
That there is no life. That if you would have landed a rover on the Earth and it landed there, it would report back that the Earth is a dead planet.
See, I had no idea there were even places like that on Earth, places that are dead.
Actually, if you drill down into the salt, you find microbes. And that's what we'd be missing on Mars, is that we haven't gone down under the surface, really.
So I'm curious, what does it feel like to be in a place that is really kind of not on a biological scale?
You feel like you got sneaked in, that you're not supposed to be there. And I guess in a way it would be like sneaking into a museum at night or something, where you're not allowed to be. And that's what it feels like on a grand scale of living creatures are not allowed to be here. And yet here you are walking across it. It feels like magic.
And we haven't talked about beauty. We've talked about the ruggedness and the harshness, but do these places also seem, does the Atacama seem beautiful to you?
Oh, yeah. I can imagine dull landscapes, but these are not. The salt formations are elegant. You have this huge sky sitting on top of these rough formations. It is like walking through a sculpture gallery. It is really quite beautiful on many scales.
Because I was thinking, there's such a long tradition, at least in the West, of admiring landscapes that are teeming with life in some way. You know, we love forests and lush meadows and rivers and oceans and snow-capped mountains. And I was wondering whether to appreciate this kind of Martian-style landscape, maybe we'd need to cultivate a different kind of aesthetic.
Yeah, I think that we've got to look at the harshness as beauty. And I don't think everybody can do that. I think to live on Mars, to spend any time there, you'd need to understand landscapes differently. You'd have to take them into yourself differently and really consider a different kind of beauty.
Another place you've been that you consider a Mars analog is an ice sheet in Greenland, so a very cold location. What's Mars like about it?
It's even more sparse.
Nothing but white and sky?
Yeah, because you don't have terrain. You have crevasses, but you don't see them until you're right on them. You're just looking across a white horizon. When you're standing out in it and you're away from your camp, the Earth is two things. It's sky and snow, and that's it.
In your article, you said that you kind of made a bet with the ice scientists there that they said you couldn't walk a straight line out there, that nobody can.
Yeah.
How come?
I don't know. Our brains are just not. We've never lived in a place that doesn't have landmarks, that doesn't have something to cue off of. And I tried and tried. At one point, I was walking out away from camp and just looking at the ground. I didn't have any references. My hood was covering the horizon. And I thought I was walking in a straight line. And after 15 minutes, I looked up and there was camp straight ahead of me. I turned completely around.
You wrote something that was sort of amazing to me. You said the water there, and I guess you melt the snow or the ice to drink, it's so pure you can't drink it straight?
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't have anything in it, no minerals, no salt. So it actually starts pulling minerals and salts out of your stomach lining, and you get a stomach ache. So you have to add tea or lemonade or something to it.
I read that and I thought that was the moment where I got this visceral sense of how profoundly inhospitable to human life that kind of landscape is.
Yeah, that is not a place where we can live. when I looked at our time there, and it was a small camp, a 7-person research station, I just thought the only way you can live out here is to have a whole civilization behind you. You know, infrastructure of transport planes and all kinds of stuff that allow you to survive out here. Because otherwise, I mean, you leave your little tent in the night and you stand out there in 60-mile-an-hour wind, and you realize that you would last, you know, a minute or two if you were just thrown into this place. That you feel the fact that you are dying when you step outside and you're not properly protected. And to be there for days, weeks is it's like being on Mars, I suppose.
Craig Childs is the author, most recently, of Apocalyptic Planet, Field Guide to the Ever-Ending Earth. His essay about walking on Mars is in Orion magazine.